myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Oh, here I am, here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hand. Lord, I long to see your desires revealed in me. If you know, can you help me sing it now? I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Myself away, so you can use me. Take my heart, take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams, all my plans. Lord, I place it in your hand. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Myself away so you can use me. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not my own. Say that now. Oh, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Oh, I'll say yes. Yes. Yes.
Choose between the two, I go Tomorrow has to offer.
Yes, amen.
If it's another week this week like last week, it's still worth living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It's good to be with you this morning. It's good to have Brother Colby with us and his wife.
Yes.
Amen. It's always good to have a song from this brother. He's got an anointed singing. And it seems like every time he sings here, it goes right along with what I've got on my heart to share. But I like that. That's like Sam Sikkim. Right? That's what it does. Same sinking. So
yes,
anyway, we'll let the musicians go ahead and go to their seats. Just love being in the house of the Lord with you. And I appreciate the prayers. I know Brother Daniel appreciates it. It's been a rough week for both of us. And Sister Catherine, different ones. But I can tell people praying. And I know when I'm laying there sick, you know, when you feel bad, you might not have faith for yourself, but it's strange. I find it easy to pray for other people when I'm sick.
Yes.
That's kind of interesting. But I know that prayer holds us together. We're a family that loves one another. And I thank God for that. We have a closeness that I just cherish very much myself. And I know you do too. And I believe the Lord is pleased with that. I believe he's pleased with unity and oneness and closeness between the saints. So thank you for your prayers. And I could use them this morning. So that the Lord will just give me plenty of voice and plenty of air in my lungs.
Yes,
and we do this for Him.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not here just for me, and I'm not here just for you. I'm here for Him.
That's right.
He deserves that we preach His gospel.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. He deserves that we give Him everything we can. So we're going to give our best this morning. And I know He knows how to take just a few fishes and a few loaves from a little lad. And He knows how to take that and break that. Amen. So I'm going to present my part to Him
Amen.
This morning.
Yes, sir.
And ask Him to break it to you. And so let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Amen. I'm going to turn this thing off before I get too hot. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. It says, husbands, love your wives. Amen. Brothers, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify. Now, these are wonderful words in my assessment. That He might sanctify it, talking about His church, right?
Yes.
His bride. Sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing,
yes.
But that it should be holy and without blemish.
Amen.
And it says that, I think that probably that if you look at that and see that the way that I see it, then apparently the bride of Christ should not have wrinkles in her garment.
That's right.
Or spots or blemishes or anything like that, or it wouldn't be written that way.
That's right.
But the nice thing is that He might present to Himself
That's
a bride right. in this condition. We believe that. Let's go to Revelation chapter 16. Verse 15, and then we'll go to Revelation 19. Revelation 16, verse 15, I believe it is. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame.
Yes.
Let's go to Revelation 19. Read about the bride. I'm going to title this today, The Readiness of the Bride. Verse 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen and clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints.
Yes.
Amen. Let's just pray just for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, Lord, it is a joy in our hearts to be able to be here today and to be able to put our shoulders to the wheel and give praise and honor and glory to You and proclaim Your message. And Lord, just to fellowship with the saints around the words that we know are the words of eternal life. As Brother Daniel was mentioning earlier in his own words, there's no other religion that has this,
right.
What we have. Muhammad or Buddha, they don't have what we have, Lord. And so as we come to You this morning rejoicing in what You have given and provided for us, and we just stand here this morning taking our post of duty and standing at it and laying hold upon these promises that You've given to us, Lord. We just absorb them and soak them in now and ask God that You would anoint this time this morning and Your people, and that what would be said, Lord, that it would be straight from Your heart would be what You would want said and done, and we ask it in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. The readiness of the bride. So we see here it says, let us be glad and rejoice. Now, you know, I try to tell myself this from time to time. The Lord reminds me of it, but, you know, we shouldn't read the Bible just like we read a newspaper or something like that.
Right.
But when you read the scriptures, you need to kind of look at it like this, that when you read a verse, that's not just something being said, but that's a proclamation.
Right.
I mean, that's an announcement. And so like we see here in this portion, there was an announcement or proclamation that was made. Let us rejoice and be glad and give honor to Him. And so why? Sometimes it's good to say, who, what, where, when, and why. Just when you're looking at a scripture.
Yes,
what's really going on here? Who is this? What's this about? Where, why, when? Ask these questions because you can. It'll cause you to get more things out of it. And so, why all this proclamation to rejoice at this hour that we're talking about here, to let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him? Why?
Right.
Well, it answers the question there, but I'm going to elaborate on it just a little bit myself. So, why rejoice? Because Christ has brought about the events to bring a marriage.
Right. Yep.
Now, think about Him. He is the majestic one, perfect. And who would ever line up to say, I'll be His wife?
Come on.
Who would ever have the ability, when He's in this majestic position, the only holy one there is, and He's there, and it would be a good thing if He could find a wife, right? Because we know the Scripture says it's not good that a man should dwell alone.
Right, right.
So it wouldn't be good that God would be able to dwell on, right? That Christ would not dwell on. So it would be good that there would be a wife that He could have, right? And so, but how are you going to get one? How are you going to get a wife if everybody's born in sin, shaped in iniquity?
Right.
Nobody's going to line up and say, I can be that if there's plenty of people who do it, but not in their, if they really understood. It's just, it wasn't laying within humanity to have the ability for anybody to come forth and say, I'll be that bride to this great majestic one.
Right.
And so, but the Scripture says, rejoice, because a marriage has come.
That's right.
We've actually got a marriage to this Son of God. He's actually got a marriage. He has brought about the changes and all the things that need to take place to provide this wedding. That means if He's got one, He's got a wife that's going to be there.
Yeah.
And so it says, rejoice and give honor to Him because He has brought this to pass.
Yeah.
So He's got this marriage arranged. So that tells you He has went out, as we read in the Scriptures, where He would provide to Himself. Right?
Yeah.
Nobody else did it. That's why it says give honor to Him. He's gone out and brought this to pass. And so not only is there a wedding, that this marriage has come, not only that, but His wife has made herself ready. In other words, He didn't just go out and say, well, I'll just grab one and she'll just be whoever.
Right.
No. He didn't just grab somebody. He's actually went through the steps that it took to provide a wife who is ready.
Yep, right.
Not just anybody.
Right.
She's actually ready. So He's provided this. Like He said, He'll provide for Himself one without spot or wrinkle or blemish. So He's actually done this. And so He's provided this wife. So He's got a wedding now, and His wife has made herself ready. And but if He's going to have a wedding, He's got a wife lined up, what's she going to wear?
Right.
And think about it, natural type and spiritual. The wedding dress is a pretty important aspect.
Yes, sir.
To a wedding.
Yeah.
Right? There's probably more fuss or more, you know, whatever goes into that than anything else.
Right.
See? And so, not only to rejoice because the marriage has come and because He's got a wife who's actually one who's made herself ready, she's actually worthy to stand in this position.
Amen.
Right? But he gives some attention there and speaks about her garment.
Yes, sir.
Here's this wedding and here's this wife. But what's she wearing? And he says, well, she's wearing righteousness, right? This apparel. In other words, she's properly dressed for the occasion.
Right.
And so he puts emphasis on her garment.
Yeah.
And so I said a while ago, you need to ask yourself, what, who, what, where, when, why? When he sits right there and says, now there's a marriage come, so rejoice. His wife, not just anybody, made herself ready. That's a nugget to look at there. She's actually made herself ready. And then it points to her garment, because he wants you to take notice to her garment. What kind of garment is this woman going to wear when she comes to be in this wedding with this Son of God?
Yeah.
So he points to that. So we want to talk about that this morning. I think he wants us to look and pay notice in this proclamation to the event, who it is, and what she's wearing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we're going to look at that for just a little bit. Now, when you talk about garments, you realize that a garment is a covering. And you realize that if we don't have garments on, then our nakedness shows.
Yes, sir.
And it's a shame that you're shamed. And it's a shame for your nakedness to show.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, the rest of the world might think whatever, but it's still true.
Yes, sir.
People aren't supposed to go around showing their nakedness.
Right.
And it is a shame to show your nakedness.
Right.
So without garments on, your nakedness shows.
Yes.
So God has given us garments. We find back in the original there, brethren, it's originally we didn't have to wear clothes, but because of the fall, now we do. So we have to wear clothes to cover our nakedness, to cover our shame, that we won't be ashamed. In other words, that I can stand before you dressed the way I am this morning, I'm not ashamed. But if I wasn't dressed, if I had a sleeveless shirt on, I would be embarrassed to stand before you. I don't wear a sleeveless shirt, so I'm just using that as an example.
Right.
I think a man needs to be modest too.
Right. Yes, sir.
But I'm just, you know, so I would be ashamed if I didn't have proper apparel on. So if portions of my body were showing, I'd be ashamed because that's the way it works. So a garment or a clothing is a covering, and it is there to hide your shame. It is there so that whatever the environment you're in, you can stand there without shame and be comfortable to stand there and be part of what's going on because you're dressed.
Right.
You're dressed, okay? So you got these garments that will cover up your nakedness. Now, if you switch over to the spiritual side, you realize the word religion means covering. And so if you want to look in a spiritual sense, what is our nakedness? It's our sin.
Yeah.
Our sin is nakedness. And so the blood of Jesus Christ provides us a covering, a religion, a covering for our sin, that we can stand in the presence of God without shame, or stand in the presence of the holy angels or all the saints of God and not have shame.
Right.
Right? You come up before that white throne of judgment and don't have a covering, it's going to be a very shameful time.
Yes.
Right? Because you're going to stand before God and his bride, and you're going to have to stand there and you're going to be naked.
Right.
And it's going to be a shameful thing. And so, but God has provided a garment so that we can be clothed and stand there on that day and rejoice and not be worried about anything.
Right.
Because we would have our garment on. So, in a spiritual sense, having truth that actually takes away your sins is a garment.
Yeah.
See? So your garment is actually doctrine or truth. It's a belief system. Right? And that's what God has provided. So you find out that those two run parallel together, and you'll find out that they're connected together in the fact that whenever sin happened, so that, you know, the nakedness became an issue, right? And so it follows that all along the way that when there is proper covering in a spiritual sense, you'll find among those people that believe like that, there'll be proper covering in a physical sense too.
Yeah.
And so if there's a problem in the belief system that's not God, where they're really not spiritually covered, they won't be physically covered either. Because they work together. That is why, and it's all tied to that original sin, and that's why nobody out there, I don't care who they are, they don't have what it takes to walk in true modesty continually like they should before God. It always slips up somewhere and falls away somehow, and the reason why it falls away in the natural is because they truly don't have the covering spiritually.
Right.
Because they run together. I hope that wasn't confusing. Nakedness is not a joke. Nakedness shows there's a lacking in our relationship with God. That's why the message has to have a clothesline to it. Clothesline doctrine, teaching. Because people don't realize that if you can't express it right on the outside, it's because you don't have the right belief inside.
That's right.
And if you don't have the right belief inside, you are naked before Almighty God.
Yeah, right.
That's why. See, so people just think, oh, it's just a bunch of nonsense. Well, you're signing your death warrant if you want to chase after something that doesn't tell you that you need that you should dress right and so forth. And I think it should come from the heart, obviously, but they run together. And so this is why false religions that you'll find, they don't, like, look at the heathens. Are they fully dressed? No. They have no covering spiritually, nor do they physically.
Right.
Look at Hollywood. They have no covering spiritually. They stand before God as a naked people without, with their sin in a full view, and because they don't have the true covering in, of Christ inside, they won't have it physically. You see what I'm saying? It follows the same thing. And that's why all the religions, you know, Brother Ram said in marriage and divorce, he said they had all these sex acts and things in their religion, in their worship and stuff. They do. All these heathens and stuff.
Right.
And so it all ties together, and it's not a joke. It's something that's very serious.
Yes.
So Hollywood is just, you know, like Hollywood's going to tell us who's moral and who can be the next president or who can, you know what I mean? Nonsense. They don't know nothing about it. They want to be the one to tell us how things should be. And this is why Brother Branham, when he saw the vision of the churches marching, right? Churches, supposed to be the bride of Christ. Was there a bride of Christ that should have a good covering? Their sins be gone, right? So when God would look upon them, they'd be fully dressed, but they weren't fully dressed. Almighty God was looking at them and showing a prophet what he was seeing. Mm-hmm. And what he saw, though they were churches, they weren't fully dressed, especially the United States,
right.
USA. So they come before him. So God sees them as being naked.
Yeah.
And if you look, and I don't remember where the sermon is exactly, but I could probably find it, or Brother Ram talks about this. If you look inside those churches that this image was portraying, here she is marching, bebopping and rock and roll, naked.
Right.
Go find those churches in this earth, in this earth, and go into their congregations and look at their women and see how they dress.
Yeah.
Because it matches what he saw spiritually.
That's right.
And that's why, and see, here she was dancing the rock and roll music. So when you go into those congregations, find out what their music programs are like and find out what their people listen to and what the whole, what's featured in all that. Satan is.
Yeah, that's right.
A hybrid religion is featured in there, see? But if you find that bride that was once again marching with onward Christian soldiers, go find that congregation. Find out what they've got going on in their assembly and what those people walk like and what they look like, and you'll see that Christ is featured, and you'll see that they'll be fully dressed, modest, because they've got a real covering in the spirit of the blood of Jesus Christ. And they'll have that. So that's the difference between there. And so that's why Brother Branham, when he saw that, it had to be that vision was that way. And it had to be that they were bebopping the rock and roll, because that's what has happened in this hour.
Amen.
That's what's going on. So Brother Branham seen that in the vision. So I think I've already said this. A belief system translates into an expression.
Yep.
If you believe it, you'll live it. And this ties into the mark of the beast or the seal of God. Because if you really believe it, you'll support it.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Sure.
Right? So, but if you don't believe the real gospel, you will express something that's not the real gospel.
That's right.
So if you don't believe a doctrine, if you don't have a spiritual anointing upon your mind and your thinking to keep you with the word, and you compromise from that, the expression comes out when the clothes start coming off. Mm-hmm. Because it's all about the covering. Do you have the right covering spiritually? It'll manifest physically. And so whenever somebody believes something, they will express it. And when they express it, they're expressing really the source of where that belief system comes from or who it points to. In other words, if it's truly Jesus Christ that they are believing in, the expression will show him and point to him and be, you know, be something that agrees with him. But if it's a different belief or a different doctrine or something like that, then something else is featured and it won't be Christ.
Right.
So you can't look at these modern churches where they're half-dressed, bob-haired women and say, oh, that's Christ. That's an image of Christ. It's not. Because they're expressing something from a different anointing that's deviated from the word. But if you look at true Christianity, the sisters are modest. And the brothers are too.
Yes, sir.
See what I mean?
Right.
And so you can look at it and you can see Christ in it. Their lifestyle and the way their mannerism is an honor to that one. So it points that belief system they have and their expression points all the way back to where it come from.
Right.
So when you get right down into it, there's only two being expressed on this earth, either Christ Jesus in his real church or Satan through his hybrid religion.
Right.
And in the lost. That's the only difference. So this belief system is an expression of a person. And that's why the message has to have a clothesline religion to it. Because it's all about, are we covered? You know, there's a proper garment for every situation. We talked now, we've talked, okay, you gotta have a covering so you're not naked. But there's different kinds of coverings. You can have all kinds of coverings and be covered.
Sure.
But so there's a proper garment to wear when you go to work. There's a proper garment to wear when you're playing with the kids or something like that.
Yes.
See what I'm saying? There's different garments. So you can have, and my wife, if she was here, she'd probably throw a rotten tomato at me or something like that, but not literally, but because throughout the years, I'll come home from work, you know, and I got something I got to do. And it don't even cross my mind to change clothes. I go out, you know, and I'm right out. Next thing you know, my good work clothes that I'm supposed to have aren't so good anymore because I've been working and doing something dirty, you know, fixing a car or something like that. See, but there's a proper apparel for working. There's a proper pair of apparel that I should have working at home, an old pair of blue jeans or something like that. So that you have that problem, brother, you get in trouble for wearing the wrong things. I seen him look at his wife as one of Brother Tim does. But anyway, that's just, I was looking at my grandson here a while back. It's been a while, but you know, he gets something on their hands and it's just natural. They do this.
Right.
It's like it's built in.
Yeah.
You know, guys are like that. But there's a right garment to wear for situations. Now, you don't go to the courtroom. If you got a court case, you don't show up before the judge in a pair of shaggy blue jeans and a sleeveless shirt or something like that, or a shirt with a rip in it.
Yeah.
It's the wrong apparel.
Uh-huh.
Right? There is a correct apparel for every situation. Right? And if you're wearing the right apparel, now what does that mean? If you look and you say, this, you know, Brother Daniel comes home and he changes his clothes to go out and work on something, his car or something that might get him dirty, and he puts the right, then you can stand back and you can say, you know what, Brother Daniel understands this environment and this situation he's approaching. He understands what it's all about, and he's giving honor to that situation by putting on the right apparel. The apparel that you put on gives honor to the thing that you're going to. So if you go before the judge and you're wearing some shaggy shirt or something like that, you're telling that judge you don't respect his courtroom, you don't have honor for his judicial system.
That's right.
See what I'm saying?
Yep.
And you're probably not going to get a good handshake from him. But if you dress properly and you walk in there, it speaks of your understanding of the magnitude of the event that you're coming to. You understand what's fixing to happen, and you understand the awesomeness of this event, and you're coming before this man that can set you free or put you in prison or whatever. You understand the concept. See? So there is a proper apparel that needs to be put on for a circumstance or for a situation. Everywhere, everything. So, when it comes time for the marriage supper, there's a proper apparel that this bride is to put on that's the right apparel for that event.
Sure.
And if she has the right apparel on, it speaks that she understands very clearly of the awesomeness of the ceremony that's happening, and the one who's there that's going to be married and that she's going to be married to, she understands it and gives honor to it, agrees with it, is 100% on board because she's put on the garment to declare, I have accepted his proposal to me, or I'm accepting this, and I'm stepping into this position.
Right.
Her garment declares that. Right? Now what if she says, you know, because the scripture says he provided it. It was granted to her that she could be arrayed in the right garment.
Yeah.
Right? But Now remember, we're giving honor and glory to him because he's the one that provided it. Yeah. He's the one that brought it to pass, called her, dealt with her, and made her be, by his doctrine, made her become that bride who's worthy to stand there, who believes it and understands it, and is clothing herself with what he's provided.
Yeah.
Right? Well, what if she said, well, I know he's provided this here garment and stuff, but, you know, I think I'll just wear my own stuff. You remember the scripture we read here a while back? It said, in that day, seven women will take hold of one man, right? And it says, let us put on our own apparel, wear our own apparel, but let us be called by thy name.
Right.
Right? Totally contrary. He's the one that provides it. Right? And so when you take a woman that refuses to come before the king in the apparel that he provides, like Vashti did, right? She didn't want to come. She didn't want to be obedient.
Yeah.
And so you take one that don't want to come before the king or wants to come in her own apparel and doesn't want to come the way he would want to, then she's cast to the side. She is in trouble.
Yeah.
And so there's this garment that she wears declares that she fully understands and she's coming to this event and she is all on board with it. And that's the proper apparel. So apparel means everything in the world. And remember, apparel speaks of covering.
Right.
And it speaks of what's actually going on in the spirit.
Yes, sir.
So she decided, you know, well, I know, says the king provided me this beautiful dress right here, but I think I'll just wear something else. She wouldn't be there in the first place.
Right.
See? He wouldn't even have her lined up in the line to be that bride if she had that kind of attitude. But that's why the scripture is telling us, rejoice, because he has made this happen. He's actually made this happen. He's went out, done whatever needed to be done to get to where this bride is actually there, and she's worthy, and she's got the right garment on. She understands it. She believes it. She supports it. She is not naked. She can stand there happy, not being ashamed.
Yes,
because she's got that belief system right in her heart. Amen. And she's dressed right on the outside. You see the parallels.
Right.
That's why you sisters, when Satan comes along to you and starts trying to convince you to let down the bar on the holiness standard of apparel, you know that what he's trying to lead you to is in a spiritual sense. He's leading you in a place where your sins will not be covered.
Sure. Right.
And that's exactly what he does. So, let me find where I'm at on my notes here so I don't get sidetracked too much. So you understand by this what we're showing here is that it is by his word that we are covered. So we must be covered by the garment he provided, which is his word. And once we wear that garment, it declares, it points to him, but it declares our acceptance of the whole arrangement.
Yeah.
Yes.
The whole arrangement to be the bride of Jesus Christ. It declares that we accept that. To have that proper garment on. Don't go before the judge half dressed. You go properly with proper attire on. So in this scripture we see where it is granted to her. So there's a wedding, there's a bride. And she's been given the apparel to put on.
Amen.
Now you realize she has to put it on because there's nothing in Scripture says that he puts it on her. He provides it, but she has to make herself ready. So there's never been a day where the church, which I mean bride in this case, but I'll say it this way, there's never been a day where the church, it has been granted to her to put on this apparel.
Yes, sir.
Luther had covering for his day, but it wasn't sufficient for the marriage supper.
Right, right.
Right.
See what I mean? Wesley had it. Had clothing. He had truth delivered to him and believed it. And it clothed him to stand in that day, but not sufficient for the marriage supper.
That's right.
See what I'm saying? Pentecost was given the restoration of the gifts. Right? And they embraced it, and that became a birth for them. That became their fame of the day, I guess if you could call it that. But that became their connection to Christ for the day, but not sufficient. Right? They're clothed with their belief and their message for their day, but not sufficient to take them to the marriage supper. But only under this situation we're looking at here, that we had actually arrived to the place where Christ had committed to her, here's the wedding garment. Not just a garment to hide your sins, but here's an actual wedding garment.
Yes.
Put it on. Right?
Yep.
This is only in this day. This is why it's important. We can't just go by a bygone day. We can't go with just Luther's methods or Wesley's or Pentecost. You can't, because it wasn't sufficient word revelation to clothe her, to make her ready for a wedding.
Right.
It wasn't sufficient. But it has been given in our day.
Right.
So now I want to ask you a question. A few questions, actually. What if he hadn't provided this for us? Well, we know he has to, because that was a Jewish customs, and that's the way it is here in the scriptures, and it declares it. So we know that he has provided what we are to put on so we can go to this marriage,
right,
this marriage supper. But we know he's provided it. But what if he hadn't?
Sure.
Right? Like what I said at the beginning, we rejoice and give honor to him because he's made it happen. But he did make it happen. He did provide it. And I ask you, what did he provide? If what Luther had wasn't sufficient, Wesley, what he had wasn't sufficient, if what Pentecost had wasn't sufficient, I pray, what has he given that has made it possible?
Sure.
And it's a message.
That's right.
It's an end-time message. A vindicated voice that God took and went back and took all the loose ends and brought everything and then opened the seventh seal.
Amen.
That's your belief system.
That's
got sufficient enough apparel that when you believe it and accept it, you clothe yourself with it.
Sure.
You're now ready for the wedding.
Right.
Right? Without that, you're not ready. Amen? Without that, you're just not ready.
Yeah.
So, he has provided in this day the garment. And you're not going to go listen to Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian, you're not going to listen. If you find the truth to clothe yourself in that will make you ready for being the bride, it'll be found under the voice of a seventh angel messenger.
Right.
We all know that. We understand that. But we look at this and try to bring it from every angle we can so that we be totally convinced to realize that if I want to go in rapture, I got to be feasting on this word.
Right.
Not something else.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
You can't go to Books a Million or someplace like that and find a book that can tell you this.
Right.
Outside of what you've already got, this
yes,
message.
Sir.
So he has provided it. And now that he has provided it, and she is willing to embrace that and put that clothing on, take those truths and put them on. Okay? It shows that she is on board with the revelation. She's on board with the fact that he is one God and not three. Right? She's on board with the fact that hell is not eternal and all these other mysteries that we believe that the rest of the world balks at.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? She's on board with it. So when she believes that and it comes upon her, now it changes her lifestyle. It changes her appearance, because remember, what your clothing is, your garment is how you appear.
Yeah.
It's what everybody else sees. So if you believe this truth, it'll express in your life and everybody will see, hey, they believe that. They believe that prophet. Mm-hmm. They believe that guy that taught these things. So you see, you cannot separate yourself. Say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm going in the rapture, but I don't want people to know that I believe the message that William Branham brought.
Uh-huh.
Right? God brought through him. I'll put it that way. Because that's exactly what it was.
Right.
So you can't do that. Because when God sent forth the Lamb, you have to be associated with the Lamb. So if the Lamb had long, shaggy hair or short, straight hair, if he had long legs or short, whatever it was, Well, that lamb, you have to be identified with what he looks like.
Yeah.
And so when he was shed, his blood was shed, you have to be identified with that blood. That blood had to get on you. See? So people could look at you and say, that man, he believes in the lamb. Well, if that lamb happened to come forth today, our birthright for this day came forth as the message of an hour, of the hour, through a prophet, a man that didn't even have an education. If that's the way God sent it, right, and he vindicated that that's what it is, then the word that came from that message that has been rejected and slain, that's the blood we have to get under. So it has to be honest. And people have to look and say, look, they got that blood of that message that was preached by William Branham. They got it all over them. You're right, I got it all over me. Because that's my belief system, which translates into a garment that I'm wearing that everybody can see.
Right.
It has to be that way. Mm-hmm. See? And if I've got true covering for my sins in the spirit, then I will have true covering, modest apparel in the way I live and act and the way people see me. Right? But if it's missing in there, regardless, even if they call themselves message believers and claim to be, but if it's not really there, eventually you'll see it in their apparel.
Sure, right.
See? People can say we're cranks or whatever, but truth measures out to be truth no matter what. Yeah. And it'll come out in the wash on judgment day. People might not agree with what we're saying on this now. But it'll come out, but then it'll be too late.
Yeah.
And all I'm trying to show is the connection between natural and spiritual, to show you how all this works, that this is the way it is. When it's right, it works.
Yeah.
Right? When there's true blood on the heart of the true blood of the message on the heart of a man, it'll bring overcoming power in his life.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And if there's a problem with overcoming power in your life, go back to what's on the heart. And ask yourself, am I really believing what that prophet said?
Right.
Or am I taking some man's word for it that's different than that?
Right.
See, that's what I'm saying. Proof in the pudding is the eating thereof.
Yep.
So, when she puts this garment on, it shows that she's on board and that she believes this message. And she's one with that one she's standing there to be married to.
Yes.
So that's why we rejoice and be glad, because he has brought this to pass. He has made this happen. Now I want to go to the book of Esther just for a moment and just make a few more comments and then we'll get done. So Esther chapter 2 verse 12, we'll just read through this and then I'll comment. It says, now when every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of women, for so were the days of their purification accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors and with other things for purifying of the women. Then thus came every maid unto the king, and whatsoever she desired, which is labor on this, it's time for her to come before the king to see if maybe he will accept her as to be queen. Right? There's going to be a queen of heaven and ain't the Catholic Church.
Right.
So whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. So when it come time for that maiden to go before the king, she was given free rein to do whatever you want. Whatever you want to take with you, that's what you can go with. If you want to go wearing a bunch of nonsense, you can do that. Free choice is given to her in that hour when it comes time to come before the king.
Yeah.
She had been in a situation where for 6 months she had to wear all of myrrh and then all these other incense and things. So she had been under strict regimen of the keepers of the maidens, the king's chamberlains that were responsible for that. And so they were having to bathe and do all this stuff and going through all this purification. So she wasn't doing what she wanted to do. She was having to go through this strict. But when it come right down, when that was time was come for her to go into, he stepped back and said, whatever you want. You can go however you want to in before that king. And I tell you, God has done a lot of things throughout the generations, and especially in this hour. But he's telling you, you got free choice.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to come before this king? This is what he's telling you.
Yes, sir.
In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women to the custody of Shashgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Now, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who he had taken for his daughter, was come to go into the king, she required nothing but what she wanted. Is that what it says?
No, sir.
She required nothing but what Heji, or whatever his name is. Anybody know how to say that? Heji? She only required what he, the king's chamberlain, right? The keeper of the women, appointed, and Esther obtained favor in sight of all them that looked on her. Wasn't just the king that found favor, that she found favor with, but people around her looked at her and said, she's the one. Right? Kind of reminds them of Enoch before he left, before his translation, he had a testimony that he pleased God.
Yes, sir.
Right? So Esther was taken into the king Ahasuerus, into his house, royal in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head, and she became queen instead of Esther. Wow. Yes. What a story.
Yeah.
If you could just sit there and get into that and realize. But look, what did she take when it come time for her to go before the king? Did she take her own ideas? No. The one that the king had put in charge of watching over her. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, sir.
That's the one that she listened to.
Right.
Now you think Heji, or however you say it, if you think he just made it up, said, well, I think the king liked this and he liked that, and you just do this and you do that. No. That chamberlain got to look upon the face of the king. That chamberlain knew the king. He knew him well, right? And that chamberlain had a certain amount of wisdom that the king had, and he knew what to look for in a wife for that king. And so, I believe, as the scripture said, she found favor. That means she found favor with the king, with the chamberlain. That he would tell her, this is what you need. This is how you come before the king. And so the scripture said she didn't require anything else other than what he told her.
Yes, sir.
Right? What he provided, that's what she went with. And you know what? It worked. It worked very well. So the king's chamberlain, she says, what must I wear? I mean, the king's calling for me now. How do I know? What am I going to wear to go before him? I want to please him. And the chamberlain said, well, we'll lay out your wedding garment. There's not three gods. There's one. Hell's not eternal. There are seven ages, a messenger each age. And he begins to lay out all these truths that you've been listening to. He lays all that out there and says, this is what you need to put on.
Yes.
If you want the king to find favor with him and him to accept you and make you queen. This, because the chamberlain knew the king. Mm-hmm. The chamberlain was, the king had put his confidence in the chamberlain to go out and to do this job properly. So that king sent a messenger forth. Right? To talk to her, to watch over, to prepare her, who was given the responsibility to watch over her over this time of purification. I hope you're listening to a message, a prophet that was sent by God to hand watch over a people, starting way back in 47 or whatever, and to work with her and preach to her and guide her all along the way, even before the seals ever came open. Guiding her, telling her what's right and what's wrong. See what I'm saying? Watching over her. That same Chamberlain is the one that had the message to tell her, this is how you come before the king. And he laid it all out right there. Now, what if she said, well, you know, I've been told that there's three gods, not one. So I don't really, I'm not going to wear that. And my folks told me that hell's eternal because, you know, so I can't accept that. So I'm not going to put that belief system on. You see what I'm saying? We cannot reject these truths and think we're going to be in a rapture. Because we're not. But if you accept the truths, then it's a clothing that you're putting on. It becomes the outward apparel that both God sees in the spirit and the people around you see in the natural. She didn't take her own garment, her own ideas, her own doctrines, or anybody else's. She listened to what that messenger said, what that chamberlain said, and that's the way she got dressed.
Yes.
Amen. And it had to be that way in that story because she was a type of the bride of Jesus Christ. Yes. And the bride at the end time takes what is granted to her, and that's what she puts on. She doesn't have room for her own ideas. She doesn't have room for somebody else's thoughts on the matter. And it don't make no difference what everybody else says. She's going to put that garment on and wear it. And we find out that when we read there, it said, he said, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So, she puts this garment on, this wedding garment on. And remember, she doesn't know exactly when he's coming, does she? Right? That's even when there's a cry that says, bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him. She doesn't know when that cry is going to happen. So she has to put on this garment. She puts on what he has provided, and she has to put it on. But remember, she's supposed to be without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. Right? So as she wears this garment, even though she's embraced this truth and puts it on, she has to be careful what she does. Because she could get it dirty, she could wrinkle it, she could spot it, right? So it's not a time of rejoicing and a great time because she's coming to this marriage, but at the same time, it's an hour to be very diligent, right? Be very diligent to put this on and to protect it and so that it doesn't get marked, it doesn't get wrinkled, it doesn't get all crinkled up or something like that, right? Because when that hour finally comes, because he said, I come as a thief in the night, right? So when that hour finally comes and he calls right at that moment to come forth, she'll be found wearing that garment without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, because he said he would provide that, right? But the question is, are we on board with that? Do we fully embrace what he has laid out there? And are we willing to stand there? And even if we get tired standing, I'm not going to sit down and wrinkle my clothes. I'm not going to go outside and do something or something like that. I'm going to stay clean. Right? So you put this garment on, and you got to be diligent to stand there in that position as that bride with that clothing on and not wrinkle it or something like that. Be ready when that time comes when he calls and says, come forth. And we know that we're in the cycle of all that happening now, but it's, you know, it's like a paradox or whatever because it's happening, been happening for years, but it's not happened yet, and yet it is happening, and it's happening to each one, and it's happening to all of us, and yet it's not, you know what I'm saying? Yes. It's a cycle.
Right.
See? But it all works the same way. Every one of us is called to the same thing, to have that proper garment on, that the bride of Jesus Christ would be ready and have that correct garment on.
Yes.
The right garment for the occasion, which was only provided in this day. Mm-hmm. Amen. I believe that's true. Amen. So she's obviously tested and tried to see whether or not she is faithful and believes. And she is faithful. And she does believe.
Amen.
Amen. You believe it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm not going to carry on anymore. I'm just going to go ahead and close the service out, but let Brother Tim and the musicians come up. We can sing for just a moment or two, but I've hoped that I've inspired you this morning to make sure that garment's on. Make sure that you hadn't laid something to the side that really needs to be on there so that we can stand before him without shame, without sorrow. Amen. God's good to us. Let's bow our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bow our hearts to you now at the end of this service, Lord. Thank you for your words, Lord, that goes forth. The truth that you've given us, Lord, it is such a liberating thing to see and get caught up in the sphere of your word and understand how it all works and how it fits together. We thank you for it, Lord, and we just ask God that you would help us, Lord, just to wrap ourselves up in these truths. And Lord, anywhere where Satan's attacking us, we know he is, to try and make us let down in any truth, Lord, we want you to be held, holding true to it. Binding it in our hearts, you know, and like it is to be in our forehead and our right hand, Lord, and bind it upon our heart as front as between our eyes and so forth. That's what we just ask, God, that you'd help us to do. Help us not be ashamed of this gospel, Lord, that's in the form that it is in this day, in its final stages, final expression before you take your bride home. We ask, Lord, that you'd help each one, Lord, in their struggles, help each one in their physical strength and sickness, Lord, we just pray that you would provide the healing for them. And let this week, Lord, just be a week where the rejoicing comes into our hearts, Lord, as we see you've given us so many victories. We commit it into thy hands and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just worship just for a moment.
He is my everything.
See why we should rejoice. Amen. Amen. Rejoice and be glad. Give honor to him. Because you and I sat in a position that none of us could put ourselves in.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You couldn't just wake up one day and say, you know, I think I'm just going to change my way of thinking. I'll just believe seven seals are open. Couldn't do that.
No.
Only God can give you that.
Yes, sir.
Revelation. Just want to ask that you continue to pray for those that are sick. And, just like Brother Daniel said, let's get this thing gone and see it through, you know. see it through our church family. We can get back together and rejoice and do what needs to be done. Amen. So just continue to pray for those that are sick. And again, I want to thank you for your prayers for me. And so we'll just go ahead and let you be dismissed. Brother Tim has another song. God bless you.
This is the day. This is